Well, again, just want to say how blessed and privileged we are this morning to have Steve and Tracy and Eric with us. And I just want them to know that they're our family and that we are their home church and that we support them with our whole heart and soul and so proud of them for what they've done. They'll tell you in a little bit here, but it's just amazing what the Lord is doing through their lives. It'll give the Lord all the glory, but it's really cool what the Lord has done through their lives and how that one little seed planted in God's will, how much fruit can come from that. Can you say amen to that? So let's give them a big welcome as they come up. Amen. And I sure wish Eric would say something too, but anyway.
Good morning. You know, I feel funny up here because when we talk at church in Botswana, we have an interpreter standing beside us, so I'm feeling kind of alone up here. So we are so thrilled to be here. We are just looking forward to spending time with all of you and working beside you in Roundup, and we're just anticipating, I guess, a refreshing from the Lord while we're here. And we're looking forward most of all to our new grandson that's coming. You know, in Setswana culture, hallelujah. In Setswana culture, I have not told Jacob this yet, but in Setswana culture, when a baby is born, the husband or the man in the house has to move out for 3 to 6 months. And the mother moves in to help take care of the baby. So and I'm not kidding, they do that. It's not a good thing. I have just a scripture to share with you this morning. It's Psalm 84, verse 5. If you just go there. Rob has actually been preaching on this scripture a little bit, and it's made a big impact on me. So I'm just going to talk about it for a few minutes. It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." And this verse and the ones following it speak of the pilgrimage that people would go on as they went to the temple and the barren valley that they had to pass through in order to get there. You know, it alludes to struggles that you sometimes have to go through in order to meet with God, okay? The times in the wilderness. But it says, those who keep their hearts set on him, you know, love his ways and trust in him, they're blessed, okay? When we went to Botswana 3 years ago, you know, we really didn't know what we were going to be doing. We'd never been to Botswana. You know, we didn't really feel like we had qualifications. We just knew that Rob and Mary had been pleading for help for the 3 years when we met them right here, you know, at a Last Chance Chapel Mission Summit. But we knew that God had spoken clearly to us that we were to go to Africa, to our whole family. And we set out with visions, you know, of helping poor people and preaching, you know, the gospel to the lost and the dying. We knew that where we were going had one of the highest rates of HIV in the world. We'd feed those darling children, you know, that we saw in the pictures, and we'd help to build the orphan homes. And, you know, we have done that stuff. In the last 3 years, we've been involved in all of that kind of stuff. But now, I also know that going to Botswana was much more than that for us. God, you know, had set us on a pilgrimage. I don't know if you realize this. He had set us on a pilgrimage the minute that we decided that we were going to dedicate our lives to him, okay? And going to the other side of the world for us was just another leg on that journey. It was just another part of our pilgrimage. You know, we answered his call, and he sent us on our way over there. And I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks before we left for Botswana, almost exactly 3 years ago, we had a Botswana Sunday. Do you remember that? When Steve and I stood up here and shared, kind of like we're doing right now. You know, and 2 months before that Sunday, we had moved away from our beautiful 20 acres, 3 miles up Raven Road. We had given up our coffee shop business and we gave up slowly all the things that we were doing here in the church, you know, the praise team, and Steve was pastor of administration, and being elders, and all those things. And I had personally felt at that time that God had stripped away everything that made up me. You know, everything was gone. Here I was, you know, none of that stuff anymore. And that Sunday, 3 years ago, I stood up here and I read an entry from the journal that I had started the day that we left our property up there. And I'm just going to read it to you. I referred to it the other night. It says, "I feel like I've just stepped off of a cliff. Lord Jesus, I am trusting you to catch me." And now I know what I didn't know then, was that stepping off of that cliff was a necessary part of our pilgrimage. You know, obedience to the Lord, keeping our eyes focused on Him. It's all been crucial in our walk with Him for the last 3 years in Botswana. You know, we could have stayed here. We love Last Chance Chapel. You know, this is our home. We love all of you. We loved our coffee shop business. We loved the stuff we were doing here in the church. But, and it would have been a really easy and comfortable thing to do, to just stay here. But if we would have stayed, then we wouldn't have been on the pilgrimage that the Lord had set out for us. Okay? We were on a journey to meet with Him. So through this process, like I said, He stripped away everything that was comfortable, everything that we depended on, so that He could mold us, so He could shape us. He's done an awful lot of trimming and pruning on us. And I think He got us to the point where we knew that we could only depend on Him. He sent us on this journey, I believe, so that we could get closer to Him. And it hasn't been an easy process, and it's not anywhere close to being finished. That we know. But it's been necessary. You know, we're so honored, and we're so grateful to be your hands and feet in Botswana. You know, we've experienced fulfillment, we've experienced blessings, you know, beyond anything that can be measured through this journey. But we've also experienced heartache and frustration, exhaustion, and sometimes, you know, you just wonder what you're doing, if you're really ever getting anything accomplished. I don't know how many times I've whined to my husband, you know, "I'm just not a very good missionary. I don't know what I'm doing over here," you know. And I know that God has us in training 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And while you're in the midst of it, you know, sometimes it's hard to see where it's leading to, isn't it? I think we've all been there before. You know, where we live, people are hungry. They're dying. They're suffering. There are so many people in need that we can't possibly put a dent in it. We just do what we can do with what God gives us, you know, to help. I'm just going to tell a little story, then I'm going to hand it over to Steve. But this past year, I attended counseling with a young man that works in our ministry, Sipo. If you were here Wednesday night, you saw him singing on our video. Sipo was diagnosed almost 10 years ago with HIV. And about a year ago, his white blood count, the levels dropped so low that he was actually starting, I think, to develop the first signs of AIDS. And the doctors told him, you know, you need to go on the ARVs, and that's the antiretroviral, you know, medication. And he just so desperately wanted the Lord to heal him. You know, he didn't want to do it, and he put it off for as long as he could. But he was becoming susceptible to illness. You know, every little sickness, cold, whatever, would just put him down. And he had a hard time bouncing back. But in order to go on the ARV drugs, they require you to go through counseling, because it's really crucial that you take them in the right manner. And you, I mean, it's just really a hard thing to do. So someone has to attend counseling with you to be kind of a support person, a responsible person who can hear what the doctors have to say and to keep you on track. And so he asked me if I would do that with him. And so I did. And it was not an easy thing for me to do. You know, I learned more about the HIV virus and AIDS and ARVs than I would have ever any other way. I was sitting beside a person, you know, who was living with the reality of what the disease was doing to his body. And this is a man that I love like my own family, you know. But like I say, I couldn't have done it any other way. And this information has turned out that I learned has turned out to be priceless in what we're teaching the kids in our in-school program. You know, we're teaching a lot of the stuff they've never heard before, and it's actually, I believe God is using it to save those young people's lives. So that's kind of just a little part of my journey. But I believe that the Lord has a pilgrimage that he wants all of us to take. Okay, do you believe that? My question to you, I guess, this morning is, your heart set on pilgrimage? Or are you standing on the sidelines just kind of watching other people go on their pilgrimage? Or are you standing on the sideline because that's what everyone else is doing? You know, I just ask, are you willing to step off that cliff and trust the Lord to catch you? I just want you to just reflect on that. You know, are you afraid to get involved, to take a step, you know, say, Lord, here I am, because he might send you to Africa? But it doesn't have to be Africa. It can be a ministry right here at Last Chance Chapel. You know, it can be in Helena, whatever. So I just challenge you this morning, open your heart to the Lord. You know, set your heart on the pilgrimage that he has set out for you, and just be eager. Just be eager to go on that journey that will bring you closer to him. Okay? You don't have to rely on your own strength. You can rely on his. Just know that he is going to use his strength through you. So I'm going to turn it over to Steve now.
Isn't she a blessing? Hallelujah.
I told everybody on Wednesday night that when the preacher stands up here and says hallelujah, everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. That's better. That's better. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you have given us your word. And let your word speak to you, to each and every one of us now. Let it be your words and not mine, Lord. Help each and every one of us to be able to understand what you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to expand upon what Tracy has said, and I'm going to refer to Psalms 84:5 again. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. And I'm going to concentrate on the first part of that a little bit first, okay? Is that blessed are those whose strength is in you. That strength was given to you when you accepted the Lord Jesus into your being. That strength was given to each and every one of us when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He has given us that strength. And Jesus said that to the disciples when he was leaving, he said, I do not want you to leave Jerusalem. In Acts 1, 4 and 5. Do not leave Jerusalem. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That strength that is spoken of in Psalms 84 is the strength of the Holy Spirit. That strength lives within each and every one of us. That strength is part of your being right now. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have that strength within you. It is there. The Holy Spirit marks the beginning of the Christian experience. It says we cannot belong to Christ without his Spirit. Go to Romans 8:9, and it says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. If you need further confirmation, try 1 Chronicles 6:17, Romans 8:14 through 17, Galatians 4:6 through 7, 1 Chronicles 12:13. They all say the same thing, is that if you do not have the Holy Spirit within you, you are not one of Christ's children. Amen? I hope that each and every one of you have the Holy Spirit living within you right now. I hope that there is not anyone here who claims to be a Christian but does not feel the Holy Spirit within him. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power believers receive from the Holy Spirit includes a lot of things, and I want you to listen carefully. In that power, you have been given courage. In that power, you have been given boldness. In that power, you've been given confidence, insight, ability, and authority. That power that lives within each and every one of us contains all of those things. Jesus said, you can move mountains with this power. Jesus said, you can do anything. My daughter bought herself an iPhone. And I don't know if you know anything about iPhones. I really don't know anything about iPhones. But I want to tell you that an iPhone practically does everything. You can do anything on an iPhone. You want to watch a movie? You can watch a movie on iPhone. You want to create a Word document? You can do that on an iPhone. You want to be able to Facebook with anyone? You can do that. There are umpteen jillion things that you can do on an iPhone. Well, I want to tell you that, what would happen if each and every one of us here received an iPhone? The problem is that most of us today would simply use it to call our wife. Is that not true? We would simply be able to just use it to be able to answer it because somebody called us. Maybe we might use it as a snooze alarm. But there it sits, able to do all these wonderful things. And all we do is use it to make a phone call. You know, that's exactly what we do with the Holy Spirit. He has given you the power of God Almighty. He has given you the power to be able to do all things through him. And we use it to get eternity, to find our way to heaven. And we say to ourselves, I don't want to do anything else. That's all I want to do. I want to be able to accept Jesus Christ into my heart so that I might have eternal life. So that I might be able to just be a part of that kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the fruit of the Spirit, and we receive spiritual gifts. Galatians 5:22 tells us what the fruit of the spirits are. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each and every one of us who have received the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior have been given the fruits of the Spirit. None of us are without that. Are we bearing fruit? Do we show that love? Do we show that joy? Do we find ourselves being gentle with each other? Do we find ourselves growing in faith? You have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ within you. And you have the ability to be able to have and bear those fruits in plentiful. And yet each and every one of us, all we want to do is make a phone call. We are not bearing fruit. Some of us have been given gifts. It says in Romans 12:6-8, it says, we have different gifts. According to the grace given us, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Those are not all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can find many more if you want to. You can look in 1 Chronicles 12. You can look in Ephesians 4. You can look in 1 Peter 4. And you will find many gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us, one or more of them. Are we using our gifts? Are we using them the way we should? So why am I telling you all this? Let's read Psalms 84:5 again. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. Well, you say to me, Steve, I don't feel like going on a pilgrimage. I don't want to go on a pilgrimage. And I want you to read Acts 1:8 again. It says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes onto you, and you will be my witnesses. Let's read that again. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God does not ask us whether we want to be on a pilgrimage. God tells us we will be on a pilgrimage. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to do that. We are His walking, talking temple of God, each and every one of us. And it is our responsibility, whether it be in Jerusalem, which means here in this little hillside in Bird's Eye, or in Helena, or in Judea and Samaria, which means in other parts of this United States, or to the ends of the earth, which means you might be going to Botswana. Now, we didn't plan on going to Botswana. That was the last thing that we ever thought we would be doing. But God told us, you're going on a pilgrimage, and I'm sending you to Botswana. What is your pilgrimage? Where do you want to serve God? Let's turn to Revelations. Revelations chapter 3. Jesus is talking to John about the churches. And he's talking to the church of Laodicea. And he wasn't very nice. And he says this. He says, I know your deeds are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Lukewarm is a sin. Otherwise, God would not spit you out of your mouth, out of His mouth. Lukewarm is not what we want to be as Christians. Lukewarm is not the direction that God had in mind for any one of us. God doesn't want you to go to Botswana necessarily, but He doesn't want any of us to ever say, I'm a lukewarm Christian. I would find that very difficult to be able to say to anyone. Because you know, at one time, that's exactly who I was. A lukewarm Christian. A Christian that has been told that if I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I have eternal life. And I said, okay, that sounds good. And I did it. And then from that point on, I was lukewarm. I went to church. I tried to be a good person. I did all those things that I thought God might like me to do or not do. But I was a lukewarm Christian. Because I did not take the strength that was within me and set my heart on a pilgrimage. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 9. Jesus had just come down from the mountain after He had had a conversation with Moses and Elijah. And He ran into a crowd. And He asked them, He says, what's going on here? And a father walked up to Him and said, let's see where He is, 17. Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, but they could not. And Jesus, a little farther down, says, how long has this been like this? From childhood, the father answered. And listen to what the father says. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But, the father says, but, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. The father said to God, if you can do anything, if something can be done, would you please do it? And Jesus said, if you can, you are asking me if I can do anything? Jesus answered him and said, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. So let's set our hearts on a pilgrimage. Let us decide that that is exactly what God has in mind for us. He wants us to be able to do something. He has put us here on earth. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. And He wants each and every one of us to do something. Whether it be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or at the ends of the earth, Jesus Christ wants us to do something. It says in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Psalms 23 says, He guides me in the paths of righteousness. My Bible dictionary says, a path is a trail often worn by footsteps. In other words, God isn't asking you to do anything that He hasn't asked somebody else to do. You know? He's made paths that are well worn. They're easy to follow because many people have followed it before. It is not something that He's asking you to do that has not been done. He is merely asking you to be able to stand at that crossroads and say, where is the good way? Which way should I go? What can I do? And follow in a path that has been followed by many people before you. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13. And it says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So this morning, I'm asking you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill yourself. Take that power that's within you and release it. Take that power that is within your soul and your mind and your body and use it. Don't let it sit dormant. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with His presence. He will not do it unless you ask Him to do it. He will not do it unless you release Him to do it. Take that power that has been given to you and set your heart on a pilgrimage. A pathway bearing fruit. Amen?
May God bless each and every one of you. You are our home church, and we are so glad to be home. Pastor, could you close us in prayer?
Amen. Wasn't that good? Let's give Steve a clap offering.